It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Rick Spain. How are you doing this morning, brother?
Well, you know, I'm never ready to answer that question because it's morning.
Well, you know it's coming.
Yeah. We're started. Yeah. We're started. How about that?
Hey, amen. Get you a sip of coffee while I finish up.
Okay.
We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to our text line, 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. And just so you know, if you don't do texting, you are welcome to call that number and leave your prayer request and your praise reports by voicemail. Yeah, I'll get that out. That's something new the Lord just dropped in my spirit to put out there. So bear with me as I get it out there, okay? Okay. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values.
All right.
I think I covered it all. I really like your title.
Well, thank you.
The Change.
Yes. Yeah.
Would you pray to start us out,
sir? I'm going to. Father, we just love you and we give you praise, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for the word that's going forth. We thank you that it's not going to return void, but that it will accomplish what you sent it to do. Father, I pray, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to do, Lord God. May it touch people's lives. May it bring the change that you've designed for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So this is, this is our Wednesday night study. I've got a group on Wednesday night that we're doing a study, and a lot of times I'll do series. Well, I started, it's been almost a month ago, about 3 weeks ago, on this series, but what's interesting about it is it has no title. But, you know, I've just been seeking the Lord on Wednesday, you know, through the week, and then on Wednesday, and he dropped something in my heart. And it's kind of ironic, but they loosely fit together. The first lesson we did was, what does God give? And this has to do with understanding the character of God. You know, so I was going through some situations in life, and I'm praying to God, and it just seems like it's lingering. And I'm talking to the Lord, and I'm saying, Lord, you know, I'm doing this, and you know, what's going on? And you know, about the time I got to the last sentence, I realized what's going on is not God. And so understanding what God gives, this is so important. It's directly tied to his character. And I'm in the thought process now of doing another series on the names of God, because there's so many different names. You got Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Elohim or El, even El, that is a title for God. So you got several names for God, and each name represents a part of his covenant with us and a reflection of his character. But, you know, I went over the thought, what does God give and what does not God not give? You know, so you need to remember this, that what God does not give is anything contrary to his character. So, therefore, you need to understand more of his character. What does he say about himself? What is the reflection? So in life, what we do is we get caught up in whatever, and we're going to go over this morning, but we get caught up in whatever in life, and then we want to portray it onto God, and it's a poor reflection of who he is. So understand, what does he give and what does he not give? So one thing he doesn't give is what we want when we want it. You know, his gifts to us are not based on our timeline. They're based on not his timeline, but a perfect timeline, because he's perfect. And so there's a lot of things that, you know, I went through, what does God give? And just, you know, pretty much off the top of my head, I came up with 30. You know, he gives and gives and gives. He is a giver. And so what he doesn't give, well, that's up to speculation. What is it that you're going through? What is it that you're thinking that God is giving you? So you measure it against what the Word of God says. So the second week we went into dying to live. You know, and what we learned there is that, you know, dying is not something that we meditate on very much. And I want you to understand that God does not require you to die. And when we're talking about dying, we're talking about the battle between the spirit and the flesh that goes on in every Christian life. And so what we are dying to is the ways of the flesh, the old ways, the way this world operates. Because what we want to live to is what God says, his ways. Because, once again, his way's perfect. And so he doesn't require you to die. But understanding that place where you need to die is directly contrary to the spirit that God put in you. And so when you don't put those deeds of the flesh to death, what happens is it is a contradiction in your spirit. And so you're not going to experience peace, so on and so forth. So we went over that in the last week. The title was The Standard. And in The Standard, what we are doing is we're learning the character of God and what does God give. We're learning that there is a transition in our life that needs to go yielded more to God and less to the world. And so when we get into The Standard, what we studied is what the character that God desires that we be. So where does The Standard come from? It comes from him. He is the standard. He's given us a reflection of that standard in his word. And so when we live by that standard, then we're able to affect our world. I wrote this down, you know, because everything in life that God has designed for you, that God's put in you, that God blesses you with, is never meant to stop with you. Never, ever. And so in that transition, what he does is he uses the gifts that he's put in us to have an effect on our world. And I don't know if anybody else out in the radio land thinks this way, but I'll ask the question, do you think the world needs a little bit of help? Yeah. And so when we're looking for politicians or whoever, whatever the category may be, to administer the help, you know what God's looking for? He's looking for you. And so that's why he has designed us to live according to his standards so that we can be a reflection on our world. I wrote this down. Where do we falter in our arguments? Is it in the argument or is it in the presentation? I can try to sell you a product all day long by telling you its benefits until I demonstrate the product and reveal its results. My talk can be replaced by the next argument. So where's the proof? The proof is not in what we say. The proof is in what we live. And if that proof's not in your life, then you got to go back to the standard. What is the standard? What is God speaking to you? Because remember, God doesn't, he doesn't require you to die. But if you don't die to the flesh, then you're in contradiction to the spirit that he put within you. And so now we're going to get into today's study and what we're going to talk about, what we're going to talk about today, and I'm turning pages here, is the change. So you know me, I write something down, but these are Holy Spirit-inspired thoughts. Holy Spirit gives me a thought, and I just write it down. And so the thought is, so much of the time we're moved by circumstantial evidence that we forget about foundational truth. The evidence is reflective in, the evidence is reflective of the truth. If the evidence is contrary to the truth, the evidence will change. Okay. Let me back up because that can be a little bit confusing. So now we've already gone over the standard, right? God has given us a standard to live by. What is that standard? Jesus called it the truth. It is the truth. It doesn't matter what the news services say. Doesn't matter what anyone else says if it's contrary to what he says. The truth. And so we have established that in our life or are establishing it. So the evidence is reflective of the truth. So we're talking about circumstantial evidence. If the evidence is contrary to the truth, the evidence has to change. The truth, because of this, the truth will never change. It was established before we were even created. And it will outlast us, folks. The truth will never change. When you try to change the outside to affect the inside, there is temporary relief. When you change the inside by foundational truth, the eternal change will buffer the temporary setbacks. And so, this is developing that standard on the inside of us. The motivating focus is the key. What are you focusing on? If your focus is on what is guaranteed to change, your life will move according to whatever the circumstance tells you. But if your focus is built upon what will never change, your security will be substantiated no matter the external evidence. And so I want to go to the scriptures in Matthew 7 and 24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And Jesus goes on, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Now, I want to stop there just a second, because he says both groups of people have heard what he had to say, have heard his word. One group accepted it, received it, allowed it to build a standard on the inside of them. The other one, well, their standards are still based on whatever the world does, whichever way it moves. Moved by the money, moved by, you know, whatever. The latest group, the latest series on TV, the latest movie, whatever. You know, so it's moved by what's going on around. And so this is what Jesus is talking about. And then he says, what happens, the rain descends and the floods come and the wind blew and burst against that house and it fell and great was its fall. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be one of those that when the storm comes, I'm not going to fall. So I want to go to another set of scriptures over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 10 through 19. It says, according to grace, I'm going to move this over here, folks. And according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ. That's the foundation. Now if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become foolish, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God, for it's written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. So, once again, we're looking at not only the foundation, but we're looking at what are we building on that foundation. You know, so I've been in construction business for a long time, been involved in a lot of home inspections. And so, one thing that you do when you're inspecting a home or a business, the first thing you want to inspect is the foundation. Now, this is reflective of what we're talking about. So, now the foundation is generally in a place where you can't see it. You can't see the foundation. I want you to get this. You can't see the foundation. Now, you can dig in the ground and go down deep, deep, and see what kind of foundation is under there, but that's not the way you inspect it. And so how do you inspect the foundation? Well, first of all, you look at the veneer. Whatever the covering is on the outside, you look and you want to make sure everything's tight. There's no leaning or anything. And typically, if the foundation's not good, what you'll see is you'll see cracks. Especially in where we live, it's a lot of brick homes. And so you see the cracks in the brick, and they're consistent. So this is interesting because sometimes the cracks in the brick is just a poor masonry job. It's not really reflective of the foundation. And so if you see cracks on the outside, what you do is you go on the inside. And so this is another test. So what you look at is what your walls covered with. You know, most of them are covered with sheetrock nowadays, a gypsum product. And so if you have a foundation problem, what you'll see is you'll see cracks. And generally they'll go up the wall, usually by a window or a door. And if it's real bad, it'll travel on the ceiling and it'll be a consistent crack, just crack all the way down. And so if you start seeing these, then you're questioning the foundation. So then I'm going to go to step three. I'm going to check the windows and I'm going to check the doors. Because if the foundation is failing, the doors don't close right. The windows don't close right. And so this is the first thing you do. You look at the foundation. So the next thing that I do, and this is what I do on a normal basis, is when I go into a house, because we do mainly remodels, and generally they're pretty good size remodels, and they'll take me in the house and I'm going to start looking around. I'm looking for cracks and stuff like this. But another thing that I do is I'm looking at what it's finished with, the wood, you know, the paint, whatever, you know, the accessories. I'm looking at everything. And so why do I do that? Because that exposes the quality of the product. So nowadays, I see people building houses, and you know what? They can make them look really, really good. But you know, when I look at what they're using to make they make some really cheap stuff that looks really, really fancy now. And so I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, okay, so, you know, whoever did this wasn't doing a quality job. They were using cheap material in order to make more money. And so that's one of those things. If I see this, then I'm thinking the quality's probably not good. You know, and so the last thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the equipment. What kind of equipment is in there? Generally, if it's poor quality on material use, usually they have poor quality on the equipment. And so these three things you want to look at: the foundation, the quality, and the equipment. Well, how does that apply to what we're talking about, the change? It has everything to do with it. First of all, we have a foundation in our life. And that foundation is a sure foundation. So if you get off of that foundation, well, you know, it's not going to be as safe. Can a Christian get off of the foundation of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Absolutely. You can. Does that mean you lose your salvation? I don't think so. Now, that's a debatable question, but I think if you ever receive the free gift of eternal life, God's not going to take it back. The only way you can lose it is you have to just give it back to him. Say, I don't want any part of it. And I don't know anyone that wants to do that. But if you do, I'm good luck on that. So anyway, so the foundation, we got to make sure the foundation's secure. If you're starting to see cracks in your life, go back to your foundation. What is it that you're built upon? What is the idea that you're building upon? You know, because our thoughts determine our direction. And if we think that, remember the first one, what does God give? The first lesson having to do with God's character. If we mischaracterize him, then it's going to affect the foundation of our life, because we're going to be blaming him for things that he has nothing to do with. And so we look at the foundation. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to look at the quality. What is the quality? Over in what we just read in 1 Corinthians, it says people are going to be building with gold, silver, and precious stuff, and then wood, hay, and stubble. You know, so the gold and the silver and that kind of stuff's quality. The wood, hay, and stubble, what are we building with? What is the quality that is in our life? This has to do with what's being built on the foundation. So you can have a great foundation, but if the quality you're building on top of it is not up to par or whatever you want to call it, then what's going to happen is going to affect what's on top of the foundation. And so you can have a great foundation but still have lots of problems in your life. And I'm not talking about everybody has problems, but I'm talking about self-imposed problems or things that we allow to be a problem that really aren't. You know, and this is something that the Lord's been teaching me for a long time. You know, I'll start getting into whatever, money situation, health, whatever, kids, wife, whatever it may be. And then I'll start thinking about it and, you know, meditating on trying to fix this and this. And before I know it, I'm worrying. I know it's a Southern thing. I'm sorry. Worry. And the Lord, he reminds me over and over again, Rick, you don't have to worry. And so it's interesting, but that part, you know, there's a fault that I haven't quite overcome yet, but I am developing that, and he's developing it in me, learning not to worry. Worry does nothing for your life. It's a waste of energy to worry. Because in actuality, most of what we worry about actually never comes to pass. You know, it reminds me of Will Rogers saying that I've been through a lot of tough situations in life, some of which actually came to pass. And so that's the key. You know, if we could go back and look at what we worried about, how much of it actually came to pass, we don't have to worry. That's part of the quality. See, we got quality stuff. He says we don't have to worry. Build on that. Let your structure be surrounded by that thought. You know, and then the last thing is in the equipment. How? How are you providing for this house? And the house, in being significant, is you. You are the house. What kind of equipment are you using it to take care of your life, to manage problems, to manage answers, to manage everything in life? You got to have equipment. And when we, after this break, what we're going to do is we're going to get into this aspect of it.